T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is a beautiful Friday afternoon, January the 24th. I'm Scoot on the air here on WWLAMFMN.com. Really glad you're with us. It is a beautiful day. It will be a beautiful night if you're going out tonight. It's a beautiful day for a march, and there's a march scheduled for 3 o'clock this afternoon going from the Hard Rock Hotel collapse site to City Hall. There are demands being made that the city do a better job of communicating and handling all of this and just be a little more proactive in doing something, as opposed to continue to say, well, no, we're working with this person, we're working with this person. And, you know, there are some changes that need to take place. If anybody is listening, if you're going to that march, if you're going to participate, I'd love to talk to you. My number is 504-260-1870. If you're going to the march, call me, 260-1870. And we'll talk more about that after the march begins. The city council wants to have hearings into the city's handling of the Hard Rock Hotel collapse. City Council President Helena Moreno has announced plans for the council to hold committee hearings on the Hard Rock Hotel collapse. I did reach out to her and didn't get a call back. It doesn't mean that she's avoiding me. She might have just been busy and not. We didn't hear back from her staff. She might not have been able to respond. But I did want to talk to her today. So the city council wants to have an investigation. Guess what Mayor Cantrell says? It's none of your business. She says the city council would have no role in the Hard Rock process. I disagree. And as I said at the outset of the show, there's so much action being taken now with all of this that I credit you. I credit us for talking so much about this to the point where the political entities could no longer ignore it, which means had we not talked about it as much as we all did, they might have ignored it. And that's the power of talk radio. That's the power of the media. The media was created in the very, very beginning, long before television, radio, social media. The media was created in the very, very beginning, print media. It was created for the purpose of holding politicians accountable. It certainly has changed in a lot of ways over the years, but essentially that's what the media does. You think about all the investigative reporting at Channel 4 with Mike Pearlstein and David Hammer and Katie Moore. And that whole group. And there are other investigative reporters on other stations as well. They hold people accountable, especially those in public office. And that's what I think we've done this week on this show. Because during the show the other day, when the red tarp had blown off and we were talking about the partial exposure of this victim, the city said it's too dangerous to put up another tarp. And so I'm on the air talking about how, so, okay, Mardi Gras is coming. All these hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people are going to come here. They're going to be in the streets, and these legs are going to be visible. I mean, how is that acceptable? It's shameful. It's embarrassing. Well, the city told us that they couldn't put up a tarp. That was the impression I got. And during the show, when we were talking about it, the city put up a tarp. So again, I credit you. I credit the voice of the people being able to say something, or being able to manifest change through voicing our opinions. You know, a lot of times they don't listen to us, but sometimes they do. Not just locally, but also nationally. Here's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll question. Do you think the New Orleans City Council should hold hearings on the Cantrell administration's handling of the hotel collapse? 81% yes, 19% no. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. I think it's outrageous that the mayor doesn't want the city council to investigate. Is she hiding something? Is she concerned that something's going to be revealed? I don't know who's benefiting, but I think somebody's benefiting from the delays that have taken place. And I'm totally cognizant of how complicated this is. I'm aware of the fact that there's lawyers and lawsuits, and there's the developer, and there's the city, and there's all these different people involved in it. I get all that. But I'm not convinced that the city has done all it can do to move this forward, because we have a tendency in New Orleans to want to delay things. We have a tendency to put things off. That is the historical track record of the city of New Orleans over the years. Delays here, delays there. And sometimes you get the impression that it's just the politicians, it's just certain business people, it's the power brokers who are just waiting to be involved in something, and so they want to delay it until they can figure out a way to be involved. And if they're not involved, they don't even want it to happen. I grew up here. And as of this year, I have been in this business 50 years. Oh, yeah, we're going to have to find a way to celebrate that sometime soon. I feel blessed that I'm still doing this after 50 years. But it's not like I just got into radio. It's not like I just started paying attention to these issues. And this is one of the things that has always bothered me about my city, the city of New Orleans, my city, the city that I love, the city that I live in. I choose to live in the city. I got people telling me all the time, man, you could get even a bigger apartment if you lived out in the suburbs or if you lived on the North Shore. And I love driving my car. So I would love to have to drive in every day from the North Shore. But I choose to live downtown. And I do love it. And I don't feel as safe as I once did, but I choose to live downtown. So I'm proud of this city. But I'm not going to sit by and ignore things that should be changed. And I'm not going to sit by and allow politicians to maintain the same pattern of behavior. I mean, I mentioned yesterday that it's almost as if there's some kind of a virus in City Hall, in the mayor's office. There's a virus that infects every person who occupies that office. Because what the hell changes? So many promises of an attitude change. It's the same stuff. The same BS. And if the city is doing everything it can do, it has failed to convince me and you and the citizens of this city and the citizens from this whole surrounding area that consider New Orleans their city. The city has failed to convince us that they are doing everything they can do. And I don't think the fire chief, Tim McConnell, as good a job as he's doing, I don't think he should be the only person speaking out on all of this. It's Free for All Friday. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870. Our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, Mardi Gras is a concern, but what about the families of the two men? Can you imagine? No, I can't imagine. Somebody called the show yesterday and said that the city is going to pay the families a certain amount for every day the bodies are not recovered. Here's a text that says, we put a man on the moon 60 years ago. We cannot take down a building. What a crock. Exactly. And I love being back in New Orleans, but I've lived in some great cities around the country. And while there's corruption everywhere, it's different here. While everything doesn't run smoothly in government everywhere, it's different here. And the point is, it doesn't have to be as different as it is. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. If you want to join us, 260-1870. Text is 870-870. We'll come right back with more of your calls. And we've got a special CBS News update coming up at 2:31, which is going to update you because the impeachment trial of President Trump is in its third and final day in Washington, D.C. So we'll get an update on that circus coming up here in just a few minutes. One of the things that we talked about this week was a rather interesting tour that is announced for this summer. This band, Nickelback, is going on tour summer of 2020. All right, but here's what I find confusing. Maybe this makes sense to you, but it doesn't make sense to me. You know who is opening up for Nickelback? Stone Temple Pilots. Look, if you like Stone Temple Pilots, you'd like to kick Nickelback's ass. And if you like Nickelback, you don't necessarily like Stone Temple. I know some of you like both bands, but you get my point. I don't see this as a real good team to tour together, but one of the many tours that will be touring the summer of 2020. I'm Scooty. We'll be right back on WWL. Hey, imagine you go to check your bank account online and a bunch of money's gone. They left you some, but a bunch of money's gone. If you owe back taxes, this could happen. And if you owe back taxes, there's a penalty. And there are interest fees that are continuing to grow. Why don't you end it? Nothing made me more nervous when I owed back taxes in the past, years ago. Nothing made me more nervous than to get that registered letter. I'd get the little slip that there's a registered letter for me at the post office. And I knew it was from the IRS. Or you just get a letter from the IRS. I mean, you see that you see that IRS logo on the envelope, and you're stressed. You panic because the IRS can do a lot. But you have the right and you have the power and the opportunity right now to contact Go Tax Resolution, G-E-A-U-X, Go Tax Resolution, to get this under control. Go Tax Resolution is made up of former IRS employees. They know all the rules, and they're negotiating for you. Can't pay it off all at once? That's okay. Let them set up a payment plan for you. And if you're a business, Go Tax is local. They come to you. This is all you need. You just need Go Tax Resolution. They will come to you. The conversations are face-to-face. So get the stress out of your life and take control of the situation. And do it before it's too late, because at one point, it might be too late. You think they're going to give you the money back once they take it? I don't think so. Here's the website, GoTax, G-E-A-U-X, GoTaxResolution.com. And here's their phone number, 985-722-1040. 985-722-1040. It's Friday afternoon. I'm Scoot on WWL. This is the message that I have heard from you all week. And that is just total frustration and a demand that the city of New Orleans better communicate and or do more to take care of the Hard Rock Hotel. And the legs of that deceased victim should never, ever, ever have been visible. There's no excuse for that. The wind blowing a tarp and exposing that is not that unbelievable of a thing that makes me realize that the solution was not the right solution, put up the tarp. I hope the tarp that's up there now remains. So I applaud Helena Moreno and the city council if they take up this issue, if they have hearings and investigate everything that's going on in the mayor's office handling the site. And if the mayor has nothing to hide, she should welcome the investigation. But she says, no, the city council has no role in this. What do you think? You think it's okay for the city council to investigate? It's also Free for All Friday. Our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870 from New Orleans. John, welcome to our show. Happy Friday.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm good.
Listen, I have one relative and two friends that was in the building on the day that it collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as Mayor Cantrell, I know she tried to take down the building like in November. And she couldn't because the judge told her she can't just take it down. And so all the other people that's involved have been kept prolonging everything in the extending it, saying they had to look for evidence and go in the building and get all the evidence. And then now they told her she can take it down in March. But when you have to go through the judges and go through all these other people, it makes it complicated. It makes it hard because the two people that's up there work with my relatives and my friends. Mm. So I know that if they wanted to take it down, they will.
Well, John, I hope you're right, and I respect that it's a complicated process, and I respect that there's like a lot involved here. But again, if it just the fact that the body was partially exposed is just so shameful and unforgivable that you have to wonder what else the city is doing that it could be doing, or what else, what it's not doing that it could be doing to better the situation.
And you're right about that. But when you get down to it, it's a lot of other hands in the pot besides politicians. It's really the owner of the building, because if Mayor Cantrell takes that building down, then the city of New Orleans have to pay the lawsuits, because they're going to say, hey,
the mayor went out of her way to say she was proud to say the city of New Orleans control this whole site. So, you know, the in a way, the buck stops with her.
Right, but she was wrong, because the judge told her don't touch it until.
Well, then she needs to do a better job of communicating that with the public.
Right, you're absolutely right.
And, you know, and this is, John, and I think it's the attitude of, you know, there's an attitude in the city of, and look, it's in business, too. You know, it happens in business, the private sector, not just in politics. But it's like if we don't talk about it, it'll just go away. And that doesn't happen. That's not true. And I love the uproar that we've heard over this, because the uproar is totally, totally justified, in my opinion. Look, I've had a good relationship with Mayor Cantrell. I hope that hasn't changed. I'm just being honest. About the shortcomings at this point of the administration. And if nothing else, do a better job of communicating. And don't leave the fire chief, Tim McConnell, the sole person to be talking about this on a regular basis. And it doesn't look good for the mayor to be absent at a Mardi Gras ball in D.C., partying and politicking. It doesn't look good for her to not address this. She could have gone to a television station in the D.C. area and done a video and sent it to all of the stations. But there seems to be, look, this is New Orleans in general. It's not just Mayor Cantrell. There seems to be this degree of arrogance. We're politicians, man. We don't have to do that. We can do what we want to do. We don't have to do what you tell us to do. Well, yeah, you kind of do. And I just think it is time for all of us on a local level, a state level, and a national level. It's important for all of us to take our jobs as citizens seriously and find ways to hold politicians accountable. And that's a general statement. This is not just about the Hard Rock Cafe. This is about the incompetence that has infected and infested this city for decades and decades. And it's the state, too. And the national government, the federal government is corrupt as well. But, hey, we're here in New Orleans. We have this to deal with. So, you know, let's address this. Just because it's done by others doesn't mean we should do it. And I'm going to say it again. There is a tolerance for mediocrity here that is unacceptable. And it's always been that way. Mayor Cantrell didn't introduce that. It's always been that way. More should be done. If you're on hold, hang on. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. I'm Scoot, and we're coming right back with more of your calls and more of your text messages. And let's get a special CBS News update on the impeachment of President Trump. Well, it's time to change a few things. I mean, it's been long overdue, but it is up to you and me to put pressure on politicians and hold them accountable instead of just giving them a red carpet ushering back into office. And we tend to reelect the same types. That's a general statement. We tend to reelect the same types. Protesters are set to march over the collapse of the Hard Rock Hotel and how the city is handling it. That is scheduled to start about 24 minutes from now. It might be a few minutes late, but it's set to start at 3 o'clock from the Hard Rock collapse site to the city hall. And I just heard that Newell Norman is going to walk over there. So if Newell is there, he's going to give us a call and give us a firsthand report on what's going on. So you've heard that at this Chinese market, I mean, I'm a germaphobe. So, you know, I'm a little concerned about the coronavirus, you know, this thing that's coming from China. And health officials are telling us, you know, well, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. And I'm sure it's going to be okay. But, I mean, it's kind of scary. And so apparently this came from wild animals that was part of a seafood market in a central city in China. And the wildlife sold at the market, well, you know, these were like reptiles and porcupines and stuff that can carry this, apparently can carry this disease. But I understand, I could be wrong, but I understand that every time the coronavirus spreads, a patient gets his Lyme. From New Orleans, Aaron, you're on WWL.
Hi, Scoot. My name's Aaron Mitchell. I'm president of the New Orleans Firefighters Association.
You're president of the New Orleans Firefighters Association? Okay.
Yes, sir. First of all, thank you on holding people accountable. And, want to really get...
Aaron, you're breaking up kind of badly. So let's try it again. Can't really make out what you're saying. Let's try again.
You have me?
That's better.
Okay. Yes, I just wanted to get it out there that the women of the fire department, take these things personally. Everything that we're involved in, we really.
Aaron, we really have a bad connection. Aaron, I want to hear what you have to say. Will you try and just call us right back and we'll get you right on?
Yes.
We just have a bad connection. I mean, I can hear you say yes, but there's just so much of it we couldn't hear. From New Orleans, Reggie, you're on WWL. Happy Friday. Hello, Reggie.
Yes. First and foremost, I got to tell you something. I'm one of the persons that was at Ground Zero. So... everybody can say what they want to say, but I was right there behind the Singer Theater. And I got to tell you something. And I've been looking at it from afar. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I want all the radio listeners to listen to me, what I'm about to tell you. Because every time I go on Canal Street in the French Quarter, I see the same thing. And it's like the French Quarter Commission said that they cannot build that high. They built 18 stories, okay? So what they did, they went above the city. So the city got some money to do that. Now, let me allude to you something. And I've done diligence, and I've watched this. Please don't cut me off. They took the building, and they hooked it to the other building, which was the adjacent building, next door. So the bricks were hooked to the other building. I said, well, how are you going to have a building without an alleyway? This building was connected. So on Rampart, when you got Rampart and Iberville, there was no building to hook it to at Rampart and Iberville. But on Canal, in that little adjacent area, it was hooked. And if you look at it, the backside, all that is hooked up. Now, if you look at the Iberville side, see, I was working, sir, and I've been devastated because of the crash. When you look at the Iberville side going east, not west, east, when you look at the east side of Iberville side, which is going toward the Ninth Ward, there's nothing that is hooked to. That's why it fell, because there's nothing to hold it up. So in other words, it's just looking at, you're looking like, this part is stuck.
All right, so Reggie, what's your bottom line point here? What's your bottom line point about the construction?
The point is the way they structured the building, sir. Mm-hmm. They built the bricks to the back part. You heard me?
Yeah.
All them bricks is hooked up. Now, on Iberville's right side, by the Sanger, it's not hooked to nothing. So, therefore, did you see the other part that fell on this side, on Canal Street side?
Well, look, those are things that the public doesn't really see or understand. We're mainly talking about whether or not we believe the city has had the right reaction to this in the 4 months since it collapsed.
Okay. Can I say something to that?
Yeah.
Can I say something to that? Well, the city knew, first and foremost, Skidding new from Jump Street. It shouldn't have been 18 stories anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
Well, those are some of the things that are going to come out, and if that's a problem, then somebody's going to be held accountable.
Well, why was it 18 stories then?
I don't know. But if it shouldn't be 18 stories, then it shouldn't be 18 stories.
Wait, what you're saying, you don't know? Woolworth was not 18 stories, was it, sir? Hello?
I don't remember.
Woolworth, Hey, man, Woolworth was number for like 12. Woolworth was like 6 stories.
All right, so Reggie, what you're saying is,
What I'm telling you is.
I get it. What you're saying is the building was too tall.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's see if that comes out in the investigation. Look, I want Helena Moreno and the city council to investigate the city's handling of the whole thing, beginning to end. Well, there's no end yet. Beginning to now. I want them to investigate. Mayor Cantrell says it's not their business. Is she concerned about something? Okay, Aaron says he's president of the New Orleans Firefighters Association, and I think we have a better connection now, Aaron. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Scoot. How you doing today?
Good. Very good connection now.
Good. Yes, I just wanted to impart, I really commend you holding everyone accountable, and I feel the same way about Helena Moreno. If transparency at any level of government and any entity inside that level of government should be able to be investigated. That's how we feel about it. But the other thing I wanted to impart is the men and women of the New Orleans Fire Department, the firefighters themselves, we take everything that we do in this city very seriously. We take it personally, really. I mean, we hold ourselves accountable for everything that we do, and things that are going on at this collapse site, we have a highly trained USAR team that is ready to go at any time to get in this building and get these bodies out. We're following orders. The guys want to get in there. They're chomping at the bit to get inside this building.
Well, they're not afraid. I mean, the city's saying that it's too unstable to go in and find it because more may collapse. So they would be willing to go in now?
Guys, our guys, we know what we sign up for. There's ways of getting in there. You secure the building. The building definitely has to be secured in order to go in there and get them. But we don't understand why it's taken so long to secure the building.
So the building could have been secured before now.
I would think so. But I don't have a lot of ins and outs. I've been, held away from the mayor's office for a while now. But I'm not in all these conversations with him, but you made a comment yesterday about the fire department. You see a fire truck out there around the clock, 24/7. We're asking questions. Why are we out there? Why is the fire department? I understand we're a lead agency inside that, but why are we the ones checking people in, checking people out? Those companies that are out there are in-service companies. They're being taken out of service and brought there from around the city, around the clock. You see, we had a 4-alarm fire today on St. Charles.
Good job. Good job on that.
Out of that building.
Good job on that.
Thank you.
And save three dogs and a cat.
Three dogs and a cat. The men and women, that they're in there. Their response time, under 5 minutes. You can't say enough about firefighters. But these same people who are working this fire for over 3 hours, there's a good chance they're going to be out at that site tonight, overnight. 3 o'clock in the morning, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. They'll be out there till 7 o'clock the next morning.
Well, when I heard that there was a fire unit there 24 hours a day, I was wondering about those questions too.
Yes, I'd love to come up and sit up there in the studio with you and talk about it. I could talk for hours on everything that's going on.
Well, maybe we should. There are times that first responders and New Orleans Fire Department, because of this and their involvement here, gets in the spotlight. So maybe that's something that we can arrange. You want to just send me an email, Aaron? Send it to scoot@wwl.com?
I absolutely will.
Okay. I appreciate the information, Aaron.
All right. Thanks a lot, Scoot. Enjoy your weekend.
All right. You too. And from New Orleans, Dan, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. Hey, I wanted to expand about something that you touched. Well, everybody's talking about the transparency. There's a funny thing that I've noticed that under the last administration, the last couple of administrations, there's been not nearly as many statements from the mayor's office, press releases and such. And that's one thing the control has done is put out like almost constantly, daily, numerous of them. But the problem is, it's not information that's that we need or that we're looking for, and not relevant.
I get those statements every day on my email address. I get those emailed to me, and she does issue a lot of statements. But you're right; most of them are rather benign.
And the thing, too, is that I think it's a lack of forethought between a lot of things that they say, too. It's like yesterday I went back and I was looking just at a couple of recent things. So initially when they were trying to decide how to bring down the building back in the middle of November, you know, they said, well, hey, you know, we're going to implode it. And then a few weeks later, they said, you know, they said, hey, you know, the best thing we're going to do, the best thing, we've already thought about this and we've considered everything and we're going to implode it. And they came back a couple weeks later and said, no, actually, imploding is not the best idea. We're going to bring it down one by one and it's going to take, you know, 12 months to do. And then they came back a couple weeks later and said, oh, you know what? After thinking about it again, we're going to decide we're going to implode it. And then, you know,
that's
happened a few days ago.
That's the problem. It's like we can't put up a tarp. And then while we're talking about it on the air, they put up a tarp.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, 2 days ago, they said, hey, we know it's too dangerous to put up a tarp. And then all of a sudden, the next day, they do it.
Yeah.
So
I get
we
it.
Either get too much information that's filled with fluff and nothing. And the information we do get, they don't even think about before they even put it out.
Dan, great points, and I probably appreciate the call. Let's go to Mandeville. Glenn, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey.
Hey, Glenn.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I just wanted to make a, you know, I know y'all on a on the Hard Rock Hotel, but I want to make a quick comment about
that. That's okay. It's Free for All Friday.
Okay. Well, you started your show. You said something to the effect that you weren't real sure why there would be any need to have any, you know, either Hunter Biden or Joe Biden come on to witness in the impeachment trial. And I guess I just thought, well, there's two things I'll quickly try to get to. And one of them is the timing of all this. If you go back to when supposedly this impeachable offense started, it was way back like in March of last year. And the call that supposedly call that they're upset about is in May. The first one was May, and then there was one in July. Anyway, if you go back to, you know, the timing of all this, if you remember, the Mueller report didn't come out until I think May, and then Bob Mueller testified in July, and then. So the president's state of mind is at part in this thing when all this is supposedly this effort was started was before the Mueller report came out. And the president, you know, felt like he was innocent. And his state of mind was this is all a witch hunt because he's innocent in his mind. Then the Mueller report comes out and basically exonerates him of any collusion with Russia. So then he says in his state of mind, just what very well could have been, now that I'm exonerated from the Russian collusion, there's probably some, you know, some other collusion going on that he was told about. So he says, okay, let's go get to the bottom of this other story of collusion in the Ukraine. So anyway, my whole point is I will give you a couple of facts that I think everybody agrees to. One, the money was withheld, yes. Two, was he waiting for an investigation? Yes. So this whole thing hinges in my mind on his motivation for the investigation. If you're against Trump, your perception is he was motivated based on the 2020 election. If you're for Trump, you come to the conclusion he was motivated based on potential corruption back in the 2016 election. And until somebody has a smoking gun, either way, whether it's a smoking gun piece of evidence that says, yes, it was absolutely because he was trying to interfere with the 2020 election, and I hadn't heard anything. I've been watching all this stuff on TV. There's a lot of people interpretation of his motivation.
Well, that's, you know, that's with every court case. Glenn, I'm going to have to get to a break here. But, you know, my comment about Joe and Hunter Biden was, look, if they did something wrong, then investigate. Now, it's my understanding that they were investigated. And what they did or what might have happened was maybe shady. It might have been a little unethical, but it wasn't illegal. My point is that whatever they did has no direct relationship with what the president was impeached for.
I don't think I agree with that because his perception might have been why he started this whole thing. He might have said, I want to go get to the bottom of what happened in the 2016 election. Not anything to do. Right. He's impeached because they say he interfered brought a foreign government.
Well,
in
instead of us trying to, instead of us trying to figure it out, why doesn't he make that clear?
Well, I think his legal team will make that clear.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, day. I mean, I'm not passing judgment yet. I mean, we're going to just wait and see what happens.
Me either.
I have to go, Glenn. But have a great weekend.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. If you're on hold, hang on. We're coming right back with more of your comments. When I think about what's happened on talk radio this week in this city, and I think about, like, I wrote a blog about the mayor's office and accountability and the Hard Rock Hotel collapse. The blog went viral. And at one point, it was the number one trending Facebook post in this entire area. And I'm proud of that, but I'm proud of the fact that people caught on to what I was saying. And in fact, it's still on, it's on the Scoot page right now on our website, WWL.com. Go to menu, then click on shows and click on Scoot. It'll be there right underneath my picture. But it was a blog that obviously resonated with a lot of people. The point is, we actually do have power. Because it is through sometimes things like talk radio that we force change. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. I said yesterday it really hurts me to say some of the things about the city that are negative because I love this city. It's a great city. We have another code word coming up here in just a moment. Also, the march. Look, this may tie up some traffic. There's going to be a march from the site of the Hard Rock Hotel collapse to City Hall. That's scheduled to get underway at 3 o'clock or shortly after that. We'll do the best we can to keep you in touch with that situation. From Greta, Jimmy, I've got time for a real fast comment before I have to give out the code word.
Hey, real quick, I know you like music a lot. Tomorrow night, there's a Van Halen tribute band, David Lee Roth style, at the Mid-City Rock and Bowl. As far as the Hard Rock construction situation, Scoot, I mean, LaToya, she's from California. I don't see she has that much clout with this situation. I've always heard that Walt Isaacson is in charge of the master plan of the city. If anybody has answers, they need to talk to Walt Isaacson. He's in charge of the master plan post-Katrina, from what I understand, Scoot. If anybody could call in and correct me on that, I'd like to hear it. But, yeah, I hope to see you at the Van Halen tribute tomorrow night at the Rockin' Bowl. It's going to be like the 1984 all over again.
Jimmy, I appreciate that. Van Halen tribute band, Rockin' Bowl on South Carrollton tomorrow night. I have this ball to go to. I've been asked to be in the this new parade, the magical crew of Mad Hatters. Brand new Mardi Gras parade that's going to be very, very big this year. The ball is Saturday. I'll tell you more about that next hour. Bobby's going to be in it as well. It's time for the $1,000 Intercom National Cash Contest code word. The code word this hour is RENT. Text RENT to 72881. Used in a sentence, I really enjoyed the musical RENT. Text RENT to 72881. You could win $1,000. It's that simple. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates may apply. And please don't text and drive. And the next code word comes up right before the top of the hour news at 4 o'clock. Be listening for your chance to qualify to win $1,000 in cash. We're going to continue this conversation into the next hour, but I also finally want to bring up this topic about this song with a political message being released by Taylor Swift. And if you're a conservative, would you prevent your children from listening to this song? I'm Scoot. We'll be back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.